Each year, more than 6,000 American veterans take their own lives. These include some of the bravest, most dedicated men and women that this nation has ever produced. Soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines who put their own lives on line to protect all of ours find at some point that they cannot go on. So write General James Jones and Colonel Michael Hudson. And Colonel Michael Hudson now joins us on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Colonel Hudson, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Well, I appreciate being on. Thank you.
Sure. So 6,000 suicides of veterans per year. That's awful. And why would that be so high?
So a little context on that number, just to, for sure the veterans, but in the study that the VA put out where that number came from, the 2019 annual report, it also pointed out that 45,390 Americans die by suicide. Veterans die at a higher rate, but still, this is a national issue. But specifically for the veterans, there's a lot of challenges that they have to overcome, having served in the military and then transition from that organizational structure, that tight group back into society sometimes is troubling or hard. And a lot of the same pressures that drive those high numbers for Americans also affect the veterans. They just don't have potentially all of the same opportunities to seek or get help, or they tend to internalize their struggles a little bit more, thinking that that's, you know, I got to be strong type approach.
Huh. Help me to understand, just comparing apples with apples, what is the suicide rate for the general population, whereas in comparison, you've got 6,000 veterans killing themselves every year in America, approximately?
Yeah, there's a, I wouldn't know the exact rate other than I can quote the VA's report, which is available to the public. The 2019
yes.
annual suicide report is available online from the VA, and they've done a lot of great work and consistently do work finding out the data around this to help us all understand where we can engage as individuals and where, you know, some modern technology can also be successful. But as I said earlier, I mean, it's over 45,000 Americans and over 6,000 veterans in 2017 died by suicide, and that puts 1.5 times higher is the rate at which veterans take their lives.
Yes, right, just because there's so many veterans, or, you know, a limited number of veterans versus the general population. First of all, let me ask you this. Sometimes you see a lot of homeless people. There have been, it seems just anecdotally, it seems like an increase in veterans, people begging on the side of the road and so forth. Are some of those veterans?
Absolutely. Homelessness is definitely considered one of the drivers. And a vet who is at home, who is homeless, is at a higher rate or a higher risk, I think, a better way of saying it, to take their life by suicide.
Okay. Now, what are the problems? Basically, they're dealing with, you know, traumatic stress disorder. It's just never, these issues are never resolved or something?
Yeah, it's the VA would say, and I think the mental health professionals would point to this as a mental health challenge. There are external drivers that can come in and definitely impact that. But some of the studies would show that it's not just straight PTSD, as someone might say, well, I served in a combat zone, and therefore what I saw, what I did, what I was involved with, what I worried about, all of those things that are associated with the uncertainty and, you know, violent nature of combat. But even veterans who were never necessarily deployed or had gone down range are still included in that number. So there is, I would suggest to you that part of that challenge is, again, just serving in the military, the uncertainty that comes with that, the training, the preparations to deploy, all of those can have an impact. And then when they build their coping mechanisms within the organizational structure, it's reinforced through the camaraderie, and some of those bonds can break down or become distant as they transition from the military to the VA or out into rural America, where they may not have access to, and it's more of the great work the veteran service organizations are trying to do in the 501s.
As far as the Veterans Administration is concerned, the VA hospital system and so forth, we know that there were all those horror stories of huge waiting lines and so forth, but you don't hear as much about it today. Have they fixed some of those problems?
Yeah, I don't know specifically about that directly. In other words, I don't know whether the VA has improved it, but one of the things that we do know that the VA and the work that we're trying to do here with ClearForce and some of the technology we're bringing to this conversation is a way to think about getting individuals into conversation sooner. So the data would say, of those, tragically, the 20 veterans who take their life by suicide a day, the VA would tell you about 14 of them have not been engaged with the VA. And of the other six, some of those coming in are already a long way down and what they would qualify as in crisis. So I think part of the solution and kind of where, you know, we wrote the letter, kind of the open letter to General Jones and myself was to raise awareness within the population. It's going to be a whole of government for sure, whole of the nation, but even then into the work centers, areas where we interact with the vets, interact with each other. This is kind of where we want everyone to understand that if you see things that are a little bit different, hey, bring that forward into a conversation. That would be really helpful.
Oh, okay, since you bring that up, why don't you talk about a few prominent signs to look for, if somebody might be in trouble, and then what do you do?
Yeah, so there's not one simple indicator, right? If there was, I think we would, we'd get a vaccine against it, and that would be a way to inculcate ourselves from the challenge of suicide. But some of the indicators that the VA has qualified, it said that 14%, this is out of the recent report, 14% of the veterans who took their lives had some form of financial stress, significant financial stress within the 30 to 90 days of them taking their lives. We know that people who, individuals who are struggling financially at a higher risk. Over half of the veterans who took their lives had a mental health diagnosis, but also inside that, we're dealing with substance abuse. So you start thinking then those are kind of key indicators. Isolationism, they tend to move away from that. You mentioned being homeless is definitely one of the challenges that they have to deal with there. So we think there's a way for organizations to think differently about how you might become aware of individuals that work for you. That you can help or start to see if they have some signs that might say, hey, this person's at risk. Not necessarily maybe to use financial as an example, not necessarily at a risk to maybe take their life, but, I mean, they're struggling financially. Is there something the organization can do? And I think that the VA's coaching would be the further that you can move left in the being aware of someone who is changing the way their baseline is, if you will, the sooner you can engage in a conversation, the better the outcome is for both the individual and the organization.
And you have 30 years experience yourself in the military, in the Marine specifically. Was there any particular situation that you saw yourself that made you think, oh, you know, this really is a problem. We need to address this. Veteran suicide.
Right. So, you know, my service in the military, I guess in anyone who's served in the military, we're always aware of, especially in a leadership role, aware of the young men and women that are in our charge. And so we're always interested in what is going on. I mean, get to know in my case, Marines and sailors, whether it's soldier, airmen, Coast Guardmen, people within the organization. The goal is, kind of become aware of them, understand what they're going through. Because here's the real, I mean, you think about it, you want to build a cohesive unit, and you want to be ready to deploy. So you want all of the players strapped in and playing at the varsity level. You want to be aware if there's external stressors that are causing them not to be distracted potentially. Like, so I was an aviator. You want to make sure for anyone flying that day that everybody was fully switched on, compartmentalized, focused on the task at hand. But if they had a lot of external issues, they couldn't necessarily potentially compartmentalize. They could be distracted. You definitely don't want someone distracted, flying high-performance military aircraft. So nor do you want them being distracted if they're operating heavy machinery, or in fact any of the stuff that we do day to day could be a detriment. So my experience from the military was we were constantly looking for being aware of external stressors, potentially work stressors that could put an individual at a higher risk, just not to be switched on 100%. And then we would begin the conversation. And it can be nothing more than, hey, let's just go get a Coke and have a conversation walking around, find out what's going on. And once they start talking, then you can begin to see, okay, I have resources that I can vector towards this individual. We can begin to engage, and I think we can turn a corner sooner than later.
Huh. Okay. Can chaplains help? And
absolutely.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They're a critical component, absolutely. In a lot of what Marine sailors, in my particular case, yeah, seeing a chaplain, having a chaplain within the organization is a really good thing. I mean, chaplains are excellent at engaging individuals, not just through a spiritual lens, which obviously is totally in their wheelhouse, but just even from life coaching. And the other thing that's really good about chaplains is that conversation can take place in a secure private area. So the chaplains can engage, have that conversation, and they have a lot of resources. That becomes something else that's interesting. Most organizations have a lot of employment assistance programs, but a lot of times they're just not focused or used, or the employee doesn't know how to get from where they are to get access to those, or they might be afraid to get access for fear of the stigma associated with asking for help. So I think chaplains in the military are a great way to break that down. Hmm. Technology in organizations, leadership in organizations is another great way to discover risk, individuals at risk, and facilitate a conversation early.
Is part of the problem in terms of, let's say, veterans coming back and then adjusting to normal life, you know, civilian life, you know, after having been in this, you know, incredible, you know, I would hate to be in Afghanistan. I'm sorry, but I just would. You know, so in other words, just trying to adjust back to life. Comment on that, adjusting back to civilian life.
Yeah, I think that's the military has acknowledged that. I mean, since we've been in sustained combat operations for quite some time, I mean, I have three full combat deployments, and each of those, as I came home, really a fourth, as I come home, there are built-in returning home programs, classes, and not only for the military member, but for the family. So in essence, if your husband or wife, son or daughter has been gone for 6 to 8 months, in your case, say in Afghanistan, and they're coming back, you want to make sure that that individual, they build in time out on their coming out of country to decompress, to receive some coaching, some guidance, and then they make that same level of support available on the family and say, okay, you know, you've established a household, you've been running it kind of single person for a long time, let's go ahead and help reintegrate everybody back in board. And with that comes the same conversations around, hey, here are things to be looking for that might tell you that someone's still having a hard time transitioning. Similarly, when someone leaves the service, they're required to go through a transition assistance program, a TAP program, same model, where they basically spend time with the individual, can bring the family in for a portion of that training, and allows them ways to see how they can transition, use what they've learned in the military and come across. Hmm. And the VA has, you know, opportunity on the other end, and we see a lot of great support from the 501, the veteran service communities, out and amongst us, who are also welcoming to vets coming back and provide them kind of a safe place, safe space to sit down and have a conversation with people who served with them. Because here's something to think about that maybe reinforce the reason why your question was right on target, is about 1% of the Americans serve in its military. So we have about 20 million veterans today in the nation, and what, 340 total million? So it's a small number that serve, and so sometimes it's those circles, once you get out of the government or out of the military, sometimes those connections become thin. That's why anytime we can reinforce those through the veteran service organizations or workplaces being aware of the veterans, I think all the stuff that a lot of companies do with helping veterans, I think that all that is really good.
Huh. So it sounds like the ones that are at highest risk are those who are most isolated. And we have about 1 minute left to go. But let me ask you this, since obviously we focused on a lot of negative here. Is it a good thing to hire a vet? Do vets make good employees?
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I think that, you know, the young men and women who are serving this nation are some of the finest. Start there. Then they become part of some of the finest organizations, as much as we tease each other internally about, you know, Marines better than the Air Force or whatever. The point is, when they exit back out into society, they're ready to go. They have some awesome training, but more so, they really know themselves. They have high levels of integrity. They play well together on teams. They seek to build something bigger than themselves. They have a ton of energy, and they know how to focus it. They're just really solid people. Leadership skills for sure, because in the military they kind of train you, if there's two people together, one of you's in charge. So they have that level of understanding of being able to take charge of an area, space, and assignment and getting it done. Now, I would encourage anyone to actively seek out ways to bring members of the United States military service into their organization. They'll be better for it.
Hmm. Super. All right. So recapping our top story, we want to mention this website, veteranscrisisline.net. There are those veterans who are at risk for potential for suicide. And if you see something, say something and seek help. Thank you so much, Colonel, for being with us. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your time.
Hey, Jerry, I appreciate the time. And thanks for everybody for all they do, keeping America strong and supporting our veteran population.
Okay, great. Thanks now.
Great.
Bye-bye.
Have a nice day, sir.
You too.